Welcome back, Brewers fans, to Brew Pod Between the Lines podcast. This is your host, Caden Adsett. And Brewers advanced to a 7-3 record following yesterday's victory after a loss on Monday, so far splitting the series at one game apiece with the Cincinnati Reds in this four-game set. And I was going to originally record this podcast on Thursday, but I figured a four-game span was quite a bit of content to cover, so I figured to shorten it up a little bit and split it up so we could talk about some more of the specific details and not feel like I'm rushing through the recording. I figured I would just split it up here at two games each here, so we'll do one today this morning and then also one on Thursday following the series finale in the afternoon. So with that being said, update on the roster side for the Brewers. Aaron Ashby optioned to AAA Nashville following his first start in over a year on Monday. Called up Kevin Hergit, who pitched with the Rays in 2022 and was with the Reds in 2023. And overall, he posted pretty moderate numbers during those times. I think the Brewers are just kind of calling him up now as we're rolling with this six-man rotation in this stretch of schedule, this tough stretch of schedule for the Brewers that I was talking about in the last episode there. So I think this is just mainly a move. It's partially also going to work in sending Aaron Ashby down. We did see some positive things from him on Monday's game, but there is a couple things that Pat Murphy specified he needs to work on. He wants him to work on still getting good with that command with the off-speed pitch. I thought he did a pretty good job with it on Monday. Looks like his velocity is a tick down from when we saw him pitch a couple seasons ago, but coming back from an injury like he had, that is something that we expect to see. Not too much of a surprise there. Another thing that he struggled with that Pat Murphy touched on was just the ability to hold runners on first and second for the Reds. Granted, the Reds are a very runner-ish team. They post a big threat on the base paths with their speed and their offense and their athleticism with their roster. But Aaron Ashby just seemed like he didn't really pay much attention at all to these guys. He tried a couple of back picks or moves to second base that just, they really weren't good moves at all. And I think that's part of the thing that he's mainly going to want to focus on in AAA, is focus on holding the runners, being conscious of it, because that's going to be something that's kind of inevitable, is you're going to end up having runners on, maybe some games more than others, but he's got to be better at not allowing those teams to steal bases at will like the Reds were able to do against him on Monday. So with that being said, we'll kind of dive into the stats for Game 1 here. Like I was talking about Aaron Ashby, pretty good game overall, I thought, for his first game back. Final line, 3 2/3 innings, 8 runs, 4 earned with a couple of strikeouts in there as well. And I mean, this is kind of what we expected. We didn't expect that Ashby was probably going to be locked down in that first game back in over a year. But defense also played really poorly behind him. Didn't help him get in a groove at all in this game. We saw errors starting in the first inning from Jory Ortiz and Rhys Hoskins. I think Rhys Hoskins was the one in the first inning there, and then we saw several in the second and third innings too, and just really kind of confusing for the Brewers with how locked down their defense has been and how great they've been behind our pitching staff so far this year. Overall, the whole team, you know, with Terang at second, we got Adames at short, and Ortiz playing primarily third base with Dunn over there too. We've got 3 shortstops in the infield when we've got Terang, Adames, and Ortiz in there. All guys that in the minor leagues and through college played shortstop positions. And we just surprising to see these errors. And Rhys Hoskins was really having a tough time at first base. He's not specifically known for elite defense at first base. He's been a pretty average first baseman, but these are plays that realistically any first baseman I think should be making. There were a couple of balls with tough hops that were understandable, but also just a couple of missed catches in there that really didn't make much sense. But anyway, we're going to have some games like this. You hope to not see the Brewers post 3 errors in a game, makes it really difficult to win, especially when those errors come early in the game and we got ourselves as far down as we did. Because we were down 8-0 heading into the fifth inning. But if there's anything that's positive to take away from this game, we saw a really nice comeback and attempt from the offense on this side of the game with that, with being down 8-0 entering the fifth inning. Started clawing back, saw Bryce Terang hit a two-run homer in that fifth inning. Joey Ortiz had a base hit, added a run there in the fifth as well. We saw Yelich hit a two-run home run, which at that point had made it a one-run game. Just a lot of good at-bats. Graham Ashcraft came out for the Reds in this game, and he was dominant through the first four innings. Brewers were having trouble getting any type of base runners on base, and he was entering the fifth inning with a pretty low pitch count as well. He was being really efficient with his pitches, had that cutter at the high velocity that I had talked about. He was had good command with that. He had good command with the off-speed pitches. And it looked like entering that fifth inning, it looked like the velocity, I don't know if he was starting to get, you know, if he was starting to run out of juice a little bit, but it looked like the velocity on some of the cutters and sinkers he was throwing started to come down a little bit. And it seemed like once that happened, the Brewers were starting to be able to tee him up at the plate. So ended up coming up short in this one, but like I said, still some really good offensive things. Like I said, Terang hit his first home run of the season. He ended up going 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs, which tied a career high. Frelick, 2-for-3. He's continued to swing a hot bat after a bit of a slow start. And just good. We saw a robbed home run from Adames, which at that point would have made it a 5-8 game, but ended up being robbed and actually ended up making a big difference, because it would have at that point, not in that moment, tied the game, but when the Brewers were within a run, when Yelich hit the two-run homer, there was that one-run gap that, with that Adames home run, would have made it even at that point, and who knows where it would have gone from there. And then I did want to touch on, I mean, Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds is, as everybody knows, he's one of the most athletic players, fastest players in the major leagues, and a heck of a game from him. He ended up going 3-for-4. Brewers just could not keep him off the base paths. We saw a 450-foot-plus bomb hit to center field against Bukauskas, and then he hit that inside-the-park home run in getting around the bases in under 15 seconds, which is, it is incredible to see a guy fly around the bases as fast as he does. And he is a guy that the Brewers pitching staff needed to try and make point to keep him off the bases, because he is one of those guys that once he gets on first, it is almost guaranteed that he is going to attempt to steal at second base and put pressure on these pitchers. And I think that's a lot of what happened to Aaron Ashby in this game, is I think those errors in the speed and base running threat that the Reds post on the bases kind of added up, and he wasn't able to gain the confidence back. And it just made things tighten up for him on the pitcher's mound. He felt like he had to be more perfect with his pitches, and I don't think he just had the confidence in the defense behind him, rightfully so, after recording 3 errors while he was on the mound. So definitely not the game that the Brewers were hoping for, but I am glad, and I think it was a positive, that they were able to claw back and at least make this game competitive going into the later innings. And that's been true of all 3 games now that we've seen the Brewers lose this year so far on these first 10 games, is each of these games that we lose, we're right there. We have opportunities. We have things that we can look back on and say, if this would have changed, we probably could have won, as opposed to losing, you know, when we were down 8-0, we could have just hung our heads and just moved on to the next day right away. But they decided to put in quality at-bats, another tear of an offensive day overall, recording 12 hits, and ended up posting 8 runs. So another good day offensively at the plate, a little bit of a rough day on the pitching mound, even for some of our bullpen guys. But overall, you can't be too upset with a loss after you almost make a big comeback being down 8-0. So definitely some positives to walk away from that game. And then game 2, yesterday's game on Tuesday, we saw Joe Ross make his first road start for the Milwaukee Brewers, and what a heck of a pitching performance for him. 6 1/3 innings pitched, 2 earned runs on 5 hits, and along with 7 strikeouts. And I think we saw some really good things in this game. I had talked about in his first start that he was having some trouble with the command. He was having some big misses, falling behind in hitters' counts, which is never a good thing. And then obviously he had those 5 walks that he allowed against the Twins in his first start. But it was a complete turn of the tide in this game. He was getting ahead of hitters, a lot of first pitch strikes, a lot of 1-2 counts. And I think that really benefited him, you know, obviously with the 7 strikeouts. And he was playing his sinker off of his slider very well. He was doing a really good job working the sinkers into the right-handed hitters, having it come back over the plate against the left-handed hitters. And then he was mainly using that slider to play off of that really well down and away to the right-handed batters. And I just think his command in this game, even with the misses that he was making outside of the plate, were still often competitive pitches. And that makes a big difference because the batters don't just get free takes. They still have to, the Reds hitters still had to have plate discipline to be able to take those pitches, and it's still stuck in the back of their mind as to what Ross could be coming with next. So definitely a big improvement. Went into the 7th inning, which we needed to see after we had the bullpen come in and work quite a few innings in that first game. And a lot of good things looking up for Ross after he hasn't pitched since 2021, started a game in 2021. He looks back like his old self when we saw him pitch in the Nationals uniform, and he had some great games with them as well. But just really good to see him, especially in the 5th spot in the rotation. I mean, if we can have a guy in the 5th spot in the rotation posting the numbers he is right now, we're going to have no problem with keeping him in the pitching rotation. So just some really good things for him. And I think for him, I think the big part in this game was in the 4th inning. It was a 3-1 game at that point. Brewers had gotten a couple runs from Perkins in the bottom of the lineup, and then Yelich had an RBI single there to make it 3-0. Ross had already allowed 1 run in the 4th inning on a couple of hits from the Reds. And then Ellie De La Cruz hit a double down the right field line with 1 out, making it 2nd and 3rd in a 1-out position, with Spencer Steer, the Reds' hottest hitter to start the year, coming up at the plate, and one of the league's leaders in runs batted in to start the year here so far. And he started him off 0-2, very similar to the first at-bat we saw against Spencer Steer. And then he kind of was trying to get him to bite on the outside slider, wasn't biting. And then on a 3-2 count, he came in with a sinker in off his hands at 95 on the inside part of the plate. And then he threw just a beautiful slider on the lower outside part of the plate, got Steer to strike out. And then in the next at-bat, we saw Nick Martini come up, and he got him looking for the second time on a comeback two-seamer, sinker, whatever you want to call it, on the inside part of the plate, and just dotted it on that inside part of the plate. So I think this was a big part in this game. The Reds were threatening. A base hit would have easily tied the game with De La Cruz at second base. And I think this was a great job for Joe Ross to get out of this. He had started off strong. He had a little bit of a rough inning there in the 4th with some base hits. And honestly, I still thought his command on the hits were pretty solid. He wasn't getting, Reds weren't getting very high exit velo on the base hits, but balls were just finding some holes. But nonetheless, Joe Ross came in, got out of that jam, and then the Brewers pretty much never looked back after that point. And another wonderful day at the plate for the offense. I know I had already mentioned Yelich once, but he finishes 2-for-4 with 3 RBIs. He added a 2 RBI double in the later innings. Frelick goes 3-for-4 with a walk, so he's got his batting average up above 300 at 324 now. After that slow start to the season, we've seen him pick it up. And I think it's been interesting. Pat Murphy's been kind of jumbling him around the lineup. We've seen him hit leadoff. We've seen him hit in the 6-7 hole. We've seen him at cleanup. And he's kind of been jumbled all over the lineup, trying to figure out where he's going to fit best. And right now it's been those in the 6-7 hole, it seems like, where Frelick's been putting together the best at bats. So it'll be interesting to see if Pat Murphy's waiting until we get some consistency out of him and throw him back in the leadoff spot. Because he definitely is a good guy to have at the leadoff spot. He's got great plate discipline, and he records hits. He's got a great approach to the plate. But we've got three or four guys right now in the lineup that can hit leadoff, and we've seen it already this season in the first 10 games. We've seen Frelick in there. We've seen Oliver Dunn in there. We've seen Jackson Churio in there. I even think Blake Perkins, when he's in there, is an option to put on leadoff. So we've got a lot of guys that we can sprinkle in. We've seen Yelich at leadoff in the past, but I think Yelich is, the way he's swinging the bat so far this year, I think it's pretty obvious that he's going to stay in the three hole, and I don't see any problem with that, with how hot he's swinging. Put him in that run scoring role, and just, I think that's a good spot for him. But it'll be interesting to see if Frelick's able to stay on this hot streak that he's on, if he'll be sprinkled back in towards the top of the lineup, or if Pat Murphy will opt to leave him towards the bottom in the 6-7 hole. And how about Blake Perkins? Bottom of the order, the 9 hole, goes 3-for-5, 2 runs scored, and 3 RBIs. In a guy that doesn't see, you know, at-bats at the plate on a daily basis, usually it seems like he gets sprinkled in there in a pinch hitter, pinch runner position with his speed opportunity on the base and later in the game too. But he's making the most of it when he's in the games. He's been recording hits. He's been putting together good at-bats. And he made that evident again today in the 9 hole. Opened up the scoring for the Brewers and added an RBI later in the game. We did end up seeing a little bit of a struggle from the bullpen again today. We saw Elvis Peguero give up his 2 first runs of the season. Made it a little bit of a tighter game later in the later innings. And then Uribe came in a non-save situation in the 9th inning. We saw him allow the first 2 runners to reach base. We saw a wild pitch. Seemed like it was getting a little bit away from him. And then we just saw a really wild play there with Benson up at the plate for the Cincinnati Reds on a 3-2 pitch. It appeared that he swung and missed, and I think Contreras just completely whiffed on the ball. It looked like he got a glove on it, but ball ends up, could have easily caromed all the way back to the backstop, probably allowing Benson running to first base to make it to first base, but luckily the ball got caught up in the umpire, actually. Home plate umpire. Contreras was able to pick it up, fire it to first, and get him out. And you wonder if, or at least I wonder, with the way that Will Benson took his route to first base, he was running way inside of the first baseline. So I wonder if there wouldn't have been an out recorded. We did see Pat Murphy come out and argue this a little bit. I wonder if there would have been an automatic out called with the way that Will Benson was running up the line, as that has been something that the major leagues has been pushing, with that runner running inside the baseline and blocking the throw from home plate for the catcher to first base. So it would have been interesting there, but nonetheless was a strikeout. And then following that, it seemed like that was the confidence booster that Uribe needed. He had 2 really good at-bats to Encarnacion Strand and then finished off Candelario there to end the game on a couple more strikeouts. So a little bit of a nail-biter there towards the end, as it seems like these Brewers games always are, but ended in a 9-5 win nonetheless, and we will take the victory any way we can get it. So moving on from that, that covers the first 2 games of this series. Like I said, split 1 game apiece so far against the division rival Cincinnati Reds. We've got 2 games to finish up the 4-game set here. And a couple things. It has been different, a little bit different to see the Brewers' defense struggling. Had an error yesterday as well on a play that I don't think should go as an error to Willy Adames, but it does nonetheless, as Ellie De La Cruz had hit a ground ball to shortstop. And obviously, as infielders, you got to get rid of the ball quick. And I thought Adames looked like he purposefully used the field to get a nice one hop to Jake Bowers, which should have been the way Bowers has been picking it at first base, one of the easier picks, but just got a glove on it, but did not have it in the right spot and ended up being an error on Adames. And then we obviously saw those three errors in Monday's affair as well, which has been unusual to start the year. We've seen double the errors in these two road games as we've seen in the first eight games of the season for the Brewers. So definitely a little bit of a question mark there, hoping to clean that up in the next couple games. I think a lot of it has to do with the Reds' speed and agility, posting a lot of stress on these infielders, knowing that they have to get rid of the ball quickly, knowing that they have to make accurate throws, and just trying to get the ball over there quickly. They're making some errant throws. Rhys Hoskins looked like he's almost trying to stretch a little bit too much, I think, which caused some of those errors. So just the Reds' base running threat definitely makes a big difference in a lot of those plays, and I think we've seen that evident. But hopefully we're able to clean that up for the final two games of the series. How about we cannot talk about too much about this guy so far this year. Bryce Turang, off to a wonderful start at the plate, hitting .353 batting average with an OPS of .954 to start the year. And he has been a force at the bottom of the lineup. Usually been hitting in that 8-hole to start the year. We've seen him in the 9-hole a couple times. But a guy that struggled last year offensively, I talked about it earlier. He struggled offensively last year, but his approach at the plate this year, he looks like a completely new hitter. He's drawing walks, he's staying on the ball, he's pulling the ball, and his off-speed pitches, letting the fastball travel and sending it to opposite field. Just getting some great contact and great exit velocity on these balls, and what a guy to have at the bottom of the order posting the numbers that he's been putting up so far. When you've got guys like Contreras, Yelich, Adames coming up towards the top of the order, and you've got Bryce Turang, who also poses a speed threat on the bases as well, which we've seen very evident early in the season so far. Just a great guy to have at the bottom of the lineup, hitting the way he is. We hope to see him continue posting these numbers. I imagine they'll even out a little bit, being it only still being 10 games into the season. But nonetheless, just a tear of a start to the season for Turang. We've seen the great defense this year that we've seen from him all of last year. And I think he's going to be right up there in that Gold Glove conversation again this year. Hopefully not just as a finalist this year, and hopefully is able to actually walk away with a Gold Glove. But just to see him posing the threat and the stats that he is at the plate right now, just an awesome thing to see from that standpoint. We see Contreras, Christian Yelich staying hot, pretty much the superstars of the offense. They're doing their jobs, both batting averages well over .300 to start the year, collecting a lot of RBIs, and both of them just have a great approach at the plate, have some of the highest exit velocity, average exit velocity in the league. So just a lot of positives on the offensive side. And I don't think right now the Brewers have the number two batting average as a team, as an offense in the major leagues. And I don't think as a Brewers fan I've been able to say that in any stretch of the season for the last several years that I can remember. I mean, usually you look at the overall offense stats and the Brewers in almost every category are towards the bottom. They're third in OPS this year, like I said, second in batting average. They're top six in home runs to start the year, which is a thing that they struggled with a little bit last year. So a lot of really positive things on this offense this year. It's been a complete flip of the script so far from what we've seen in the last few seasons, where the Brewers are usually in the bottom five in almost all offensive, main offensive categories. So it's been a really nice thing to see. Like I said, it's still only 10 games. Try to not get too excited. But it's hard to not get excited. And it just seems like a completely new approach for the offense. Getting in deep counts, not a lot of strikeouts, and just having really good, consistent approaches at the plate. And it's making a huge benefit so far early in the season. 29 runs over the last three games. That's just seems incredible numbers to have our offense putting up high numbers on a consistent basis here. Looking ahead to the matchups that we have to finish up these last two games of the series, Brewers are going to see Wade Miley on the mound for the first time this year. Good to see the lefty come back. He's probably got to be pretty close to retirement here, 39 years old entering this year. But just seems like a guy that just keeps going, and he continues to post really productive numbers as well. We're hoping to see some more of that this year, assuming that he can stay off of the injured list. Kind of a guy you don't really see too often in today's game. Not very high velocity on his pitching. Just a guy that deals with really good command. He's got that cutter and changeup that plays really well off of one another. He loves to pitch down and away to right-handed hitters. Same thing to left-handed hitters as well. But he also likes to work inside to lefties a little bit too. So it'll be interesting to see how long Pat Murphy rides him today. I'm assuming we'll only see maybe 4 or 5 innings out of him, even depending on the pitch count. But it'd be nice to see him be able to get a little bit of length after we've seen some of the bullpen guys, a lot of the bullpen guys in the last couple days. Even though Pyomps didn't pitch yesterday, he was up in a full warm-up in the bullpen in that ninth inning when Uribe was struggling. So you almost kind of count that as not having an off day when that has to occur. So hopefully he's able to get at least, you know, 4 or 5 innings, you hope, so then we can get some rest to some of our bullpen guys. It'd be really nice to see the offense post the numbers that we've been posting. Not sure that's going to happen against Hunter Green, who has got an exceptional arm. Pretty much, in my opinion, the ace for the Cincinnati Reds, even though Montas was the opening day starter for the Reds. But so it'll be interesting to see him, that high velocity, great command for Hunter Green. So it'll be interesting to see our offense face off against him today. And then finishing up matchup on Thursday, we've got Freddy Peralta versus Nick Martinez. So hopefully Freddy Peralta is able to continue his hot start to the season. Nick Martinez off to a little bit of a struggle for the Reds. Still an early sample size with just the two starts for him so far. So we will see how the offenses are able to fare against those pitchers on Thursday's matchup to finish the 4-game set off with the Cincinnati Reds before the Brewers head to Baltimore to face the Orioles and Corbin Burns. And with that being said, as you guys know, BrewPod Between the Lines podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and other mainstream podcast sites. So feel free to listen to this podcast from wherever it is you may want. I can always be reached, and feedback is much appreciated on social media using @brew_pod on Twitter or by searching BrewPod Between the Lines on Facebook or Instagram. Feel free to leave some comments or questions if there are certain topics that you'd like me to talk about, certain things that you're wondering about with the Brewers, or even myself if there's anything you want to know more about me and my background with the Brewers at all with that. So with that being said, we'll see you next time and talk to you soon. Go Brewers. Hopefully we're able to collect some more wins this week and into this weekend.